This is the Attraction Factor with Pam Thomas on Empower Radio. 30 minutes to supercharge your life, move past negativity, and reclaim your personal power. Now, here's your host, Pam Thomas, on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the Attraction Factor. You know, there used to be a time in my world when I gave up my power to choose. I basically handed my power over to my friends, my family, just about anyone, you name it. I wrapped it in a box with a bow and I gave it up. And the reason? Well, it was because I didn't trust my own ability to make good choices, and I didn't feel good enough about who I was to do just that. Today, I have my friend and fellow life coach, Jenny Drescher, with me, and in just a few moments, I'm going to bring her on because we're going to talk about ways we can invoke our superpowers to choose. But first, I'd like to share with you the Attraction Factor tip of the week. Speaking of power, power to you, not your negative naysayer or your self-saboteur. You have the power to either listen and believe the doubting words or use them to serve as your indicator that some self-love, aka self-care, is in order, or as your cue that you and what you want to do is important. Because guess what? You are. So power to you. And now it is absolutely my pleasure to introduce to you fellow coach and friend Jenny Drescher. I've known Jenny for quite some time, and not only is she a great coach, but she's one funny woman, and so I guarantee you're in for a real treat today. As a matter of fact, Jenny just recently launched Laugh and Learn workshops, where people can come, have some fun, and work on their own growth and personal development, as well as have some fun. So it is an absolute honor to bring Jenny on. Jenny, welcome!
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it is a pleasure, and I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you talking with me about our topic today. You've got the power, basically the power to choose. You know, I know this topic, the power to choose, is an important one for you. Would you mind sharing with the listeners why that is?
Absolutely. Why does it matter so much to me? I think on a very personal level, I did not know until I was somewhere in my early 30s that I actually had the power to choose. I didn't really realize it. I think that I had, like a lot of folks out there have, an idea in my head that life was something that happened to me, right? That people do things to me or to my life. And so when I went through a coaching program and somebody actually told me point blank through the course of the program that I really did have the power to choose, It was a completely new idea. I think we all really are kind of raised with this idea that life happens to us. But how many of us are really taught at a deep, deep level that choice is something that we can just have at will? Nobody teaches us that. So when I realized that and when I learned that through the program that I was in, it completely changed my life. It totally turned my life around and created an opportunity for me to start living my life from that place instead of from a place of, oh, I have this challenge, I have that challenge, I have this problem, I have that problem. Instead of life happening to me, I really got in the driver's seat, so to speak.
Oh, and that's such a great place to be, in the driver's seat. Yeah. I'm curious, was it a little uncomfortable at first?
Oh, yeah. Oh, very. Because I mean, when this fact really sinks into our hearts and our minds and our spirits and everything about who we are, it does mean giving up some of the other stuff. It really does. It means giving up. Oh man, I gotta sell my house in Victimville. Really? I've worked on it for years. It's big. It's got, you know, I put all the curtains in it, everything matches. And it's because we that's sort of the culture that we live in right now.
It's, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that you said, you know, you really realize that it's not about life happening to you. It's about you taking control. And as you said, being in the driver's seat. From your perspective, what do you feel gets in the way of anyone invoking the power to choose?
I think that probably the number one thing that I see or that I saw when I really made that change in what I've seen in a lot of my clients is habit. It really, I think a lot of it boils down to habits. It's how we think of things. We habitually think of ourselves in terms of that life happening to us piece, instead of habitually thinking of ourselves as being at choice. You know, so some of it is just our way of thinking, and then some of it is the baggage, right? The baggage piece that we bring with us, that is that whole victim mentality piece of it, right? Like, we have our baggage and our stories about ourselves, and that starts to identify, you know, over the course of our lives from when we're really small, that becomes who we are. So we forget, oh, wait a minute, I can invent myself in the moment. I can choose however I want to be, whoever I want to be. I'm not my story. I'm not my baggage. So it's really, I think, it's just a habitual way of thinking. And another piece of that that I see a lot in my own way of thinking is I have to stop and recognize, okay, what am I really getting out of it when I'm not being a choice, right? Really kind of getting real with myself about what that payoff is.
Right.
And because we all do that. We do that a lot. You look at that whole, you hear the phrase a lot nowadays, you know, well, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? That's a pretty good example right there. Like, if I'm not choosing, then, well, maybe I've got a pretty juicy payoff there. Like, I'm being right. I'm busy being right. Excuse me. No, go away. I'm busy being right. It's not really an empowered place to be if you're just defaulting to, no, I have to be right. I must be right all the time. So,
well, and you made mention, and I loved your little analogy, if you will, about Victimville and building that house. And I put in the curtains and everything matches. I think, too, you think about, we become comfortable. We become comfortable in the discomfort because it's known to us. We know that discomfort.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a really great way of putting it. It's easier to stay in what's known than to break into the unknown. But that's a scary thing to do.
Well, sure it is.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
Step out into that. It's totally crazy territory. It's unsafe. Anything could happen in that unknown place.
Well, and you mentioned that this happened for you in your 30s, where you realized, hey, wow, I do have that power to choose. And you started it. Shifting and changing some things in your world. I'm curious as to what you've seen as the benefits now that you've made that choice to be in the driver's seat.
Oh my God, there's so many. I think that probably the number one thing is my confidence. The number one thing definitely would be my confidence, because I really struggled with self-esteem. I had the lowest of low self-esteem, and taking on that power to choose and really leveraging it has made me confident. It's made me recognize all the wonderful things that I can do, wonderful things I can be. It's built up my self-love. And there, so when you build up that self-love piece, there's all the wonderful stuff that goes along with that. So now I'm able to help others. I'm able to serve others. I'm happier. I have more energy.
So,
and I don't take very much from people anymore, because part of living in Victimville means to be, quote, mistreated by others and not realize that, oh, wait a minute, I can choose my response to this. So I'm stronger, I think, than I used to be, because when people are coming at me with their stuff or their challenges, I don't make it about me, and I also don't really put up with it all that much. I'm able to say, oh, okay, well, that's an interesting problem that you have. I'm not really so interested in having that on me. You can take that elsewhere. But when you look at the world through a victim lens, you're not able to do that as easily.
No, because that's all you see is victimhood when you're looking through that lens. And I think you make some great points. What was the hardest? You had made mention that, you know, some of this was scary. What was the scariest piece for you?
The scariest piece was probably giving up the old way of thinking, giving up the old way of allowing myself to live in Victimville. I think letting go of living, really moving out of Victimville was probably the hardest part for me. And stepping into that unknown and stepping into that scary space where I don't know who I am. I don't love myself. I don't see anything great about myself. So stepping into that sort of void was the most frightening part for me. And having to say, oh wow, I don't know what to do now was definitely, those were some scary moments. And then gradually, once I did step into it, I started to fill it up with all the things that I saw about myself that were fantastic and lovable and worthy. That, you know, the fact that I'm a great listener, and the fact that I am funny, and the fact that I can speak languages, and all the good things about me slowly started to crawl into that void because I finally made the space for them.
Oh, you know, and that reminds me, we've talked before about this, you know, the universe works on a vacuum. So when you remove some of the negative stuff, the things that are really not serving you, you create the space for those good things. You know, they recognize the fact that you're a good listener and that you're funny and that, you know, you do bring a lot of good things to the table. You mentioned just a few moments ago about one of the benefits of coming from recognizing that you have the power to choose was really building up your confidence. How do you help someone who doesn't feel quite confident, doesn't have that confidence level? How do you help them to become more confident in their own power to choose?
Well, I think the first place that I usually start with most of the people that I work with is I help them to notice where their habits are. Where do their thoughts habitually go? What is their self-talk about? What is it that's consistently going through their mind that keeps them in that habitual space of not choosing? So when people don't trust themselves to choose, I always like to start around, well, what would it be like if you started just a little bit in this one place to pay attention to how you're choosing or how you're not choosing or how you're thinking, right? And I love to start with little things. Like I had a client who had some pretty big changes that she wanted to make in her life, and she was not feeling terribly confident about her ability to choose these things. So we started at really small things, like what were her habits around brushing her teeth? It sounds totally ridiculous, but it's just itty-bitty places sometimes are a really great place to start building up that muscle, because if it's a really atrophied muscle, which it is for a lot of us, starting with a small thing in life that you do every day can build that muscle bit by bit by bit. And then next thing you know, you're really taking on choosing much bigger, scarier things, but you've got the power to do it. You've got a lot more muscle to do it when you build that confident muscle.
That's great advice, you know, just slowly building up the momentum. I think a lot of people feel that it has to be done in one fell swoop or in big, grandiose ways, and it really doesn't. It's, you know, really breaking it down and making it small and manageable and less scary and less hairy, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, because when we want to take on these grandiose things, it's too much. It's way too big to take on a lot of what we want to see ourselves become or what we want to see ourselves do. It can be way too big in large pieces.
You mentioned habits and helping your clients and the people you work with look for their habits. What are some of the habits that you see coming into play?
I'm a big fan of observing language habits. For example, I'm not a big fan of the word should. Should is one of my least favorite words in the English language, and I know you feel the same way, because it's such an ugh word. Anytime I hear the word should, it makes my skin crawl. It's somebody else's agenda being imposed upon someone else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect, you know, sense.
So I love starting around should. And around other language patterns and language habits, just for to give people an opportunity to become aware of what am I saying that's immediately not putting myself in a place that's about power and choice and confidence. And what do I say? Well, every time I say the word should, guess what? That's somebody else's agenda. That's not me choosing. That's me defaulting to someone else's agenda, not my own. So should is one of my favorite places to start with my clients. And another one, I do improv on the side, as you know, that it's just for fun, improv theater and improv comedy. And one of the most basic tools of improv theater, if you've ever watched a program like Whose Line Is It Anyway, is yes and. Yes, and. It's a great way of building a scene if you're doing an improv comedy scene, but it's also applicable to life on a very broad spectrum. So when people are paying attention to their language and they're paying attention to any time they say should or but or I can't or the classic woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yes.
I challenge them and I entice them to say, well, what about the next time you hear yourself saying, you know, I want to do this, but, which is more or less saying yes, but. It's a block. It's an immediate, oh, I'm throwing that but in my own way. Okay, well, how about turning that on its head and try yes and? Because you can even hear it. Like, if you say it out loud, if you say yes, but, and you say yes and, they even sound totally different.
Oh, they do, and it shifts your energy, too.
Yeah.
If you think about it, yeah.
Absolutely. So I love to start with language, just because everything we do in life is about our language, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And language is just such a powerful piece of how we go through our lives every minute of every day.
Oh, sure.
I love starting with noticing language and should and but. And it's fun, too, because one of the things I love about teaching people about how to say yes and is that it immediately makes them smile because they associate it with something funny. So that in and of itself is a charge, and it makes people start to build that confidence and choosing muscle.
Well, I remember when you introduced that to me, you and I were having a conversation, and you were sharing with me the yes and. And I remember thinking, oh, how cool. Yes, and here are all the potentials and options.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that went through my head was, okay, we're creating potentials and options. And when we're creating those potentials and options, we're automatically giving ourselves that power to choose.
Beautifully put.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that concept. I love that concept of, you know, just taking out the take first and foremost. You and I both know I hate the shoulds because we're, you know, we talk about shoulding all over ourselves all the time. But I love that concept of the yes and just removing the but. Remove that but. That's awesome.
Get that butt out of the way.
Get the butt out of the way and open up the door to possibility. Yeah.
That and
that's
I have
fantastic.
That I love that I have recently been using at my workshops that people really seem to enjoy, which is a really fun physical tool that I teach people. And it's, you remember stop, drop, and roll from
yes.
your kid, and that's always what they teach. I'm sure they still teach it, right? If you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. And one of the things that I see happening to myself and everybody around me is modern life is so busy, so hectic. So people get into overwhelm, and overwhelm is essentially not a place of choosing most of the time.
Right. Right.
If we're getting ourselves deeply into overwhelm, we've let something go along the way. And we're just, woo, I'm in this whirlwind, I'm in this swirl. It's really not fun, and it's really not empowered, and I really don't feel like I'm choosing. Right? It's part of that being a victim, coming from a victim place, which is easy to do. And I love the tool of stop, step back, choose. But of course, it's really more fun than stop, drop, and roll because there's no fire involved, right? So it's funny that. So it's stop, step back, choose. So when you're having a moment where you're looking at your calendar and you're saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I've got too much to do. Da 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 da. And you hear that little going on in your head. Stop, step back, choose. And it's just a really immediate game changer to help you shift your mind and shift your energy from a place that's about overwhelm or being in that swirling mass of busyness that modern life offers stepping back from it and making a conscious choice to choose, if that doesn't sound ridiculous.
No, it doesn't sound ridiculous at all, because I think in the beginning it is a conscious choice to choose.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're retraining our brain.
Yeah.
So it is a conscious choice,
yeah,
until we develop that habit. Yeah. You bet. Well, I know we only have a couple more minutes left, and I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your Laugh and Learn workshops.
Well, my Laugh and Learn workshops, they are they're geared towards giving people really good, juicy tools to learn how to do things like choose, or get out of overwhelm, or get focused. And what I do with them is nothing against, quote, garden variety workshops, but I get really, really bored if I'm sitting in one place and my butt's going numb and I can't take any more. And we've all been there, haven't we? Really great content, but my back hurts, my butt's numb, my feet are cold. And so I thought, I want to create workshops that are fun, that get people up, that get people moving, and also that get people out of their heads, because we all get so stuck in our heads. So my Laugh and Learn workshops are all about taking some of the tools that I teach people in coaching, some of the useful concepts and tools like yes and or stop, step back, choose, and I give them a physical component so that people actually move their bodies and shout things out loud, and they get silly and they have fun and they try these concepts on in their bodies, and they have a great time doing it, and they laugh, and it sticks with them so much more.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it becomes part of your body memory instead of just being up in your head.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you're just integrating the whole being as opposed to part of the being. That's awesome. And for those of you who are interested in learning a little bit more about Jenny and about what she has to offer, you can find the link to her website on the Attraction Factor radio page on Empower Radio. And I would highly, highly encourage you to check out her website and check out some of the really cool things she's doing. Jenny, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and ideas and what you do to help people understand that they do have the power to choose.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here and joining us again this week, as well as I'd like to thank my producer, Nate, for riding shotgun with us today, and Brent Carey, the founder of Empower Radio, who makes all of this a possibility. As always, please keep amping up your attraction factor and be well. Take care, everybody.